Jesus, please open our eyes and hearts to the consequences of our opinions and how we injure others with our mouths. Amen. Well, it's been a very intense day. Tonight, Ezekiel entered into a terribly painful prophetic experience with the Lord. He saw Jesus in agony on the cross, and a Roto-Rooter blade was coming up through the core of the Lord's body and ripping the flesh from inside of him. The Lord was vomiting flesh and blood. While this was going on, Ezekiel was in tremendous travail, just wailing, and was experiencing the very same kind of pain, in absolute agony. The Lord's mother was at the foot of the cross, wailing, my son, what have they done to you? Please stop hurting my son. Jesus began. Ezekiel was given that name because his life and sufferings are a reflection of my body, and I am calling her to account. If I were to come now, many would not be taken because they are against me, persecuting the members of my body, assassinating, ripping it from limb to limb, disemboweling, piercing my heart over and over again with their judgments. It is as the prophet said, I gave him a dream about billboards on the highway. Each billboard had a mangled part of a body, a crushed foot, a disfigured and bleeding hand and fingers torn, legs severed from the body. And each billboard was symbolic of what my body has been doing to itself for a very long time. And that was the point of the billboards, by the way. He continued, Claire, what he saw and experienced is what I am going through with my body. It is sick, 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 with a cancer of calumny, jealousy, fear, stemming from ignorance, backbiting, striking with wicked claw, division, avarice, stealing from the poor, and greed. My body is very, very sick, even unto death. Nevertheless, I must heal it, but I want you to speak out clearly about these issues that are tearing me apart. You have not been getting that song for no reason at all. The talk about you has reached epic proportions, and I am sick unto death over not only you, but my other faithful servants who are suffering from supposedly faithful, mature, solid Christians who are ripping my body asunder. The song that he's talking about is the song Prevail by Freddie Haler. And I keep getting that, and I never get that song. I started getting it, the beginning of last week. In fact, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was the first time I heard it, and I never hear this song. I have it on shuffle so the Lord can play whatever he wants during worship, and he speaks to me through that. So the lyrics to the song are, they can say what they want while they act spiritual. They can gossip and talk. They can try to find fault, but they'll never prevail. Even persecute me or take away all I own. They can do what they please in their prideful disease, but they'll never prevail. 'Cause deep down in my heart, there's a Savior inside of me. My foundation and hope is indestructible. There is a mansion prepared for me. It doesn't matter what the enemy sees, for there is victory in Christ our Lord. I'm his sanctuary. I am a temple not made by men. And though they burn and shoot this outer man, you'll see he's Lord of my temple. I'm burning bright with his love, and he'll never forsake me. He'll perform what is within me complete, his work in my heart. Through the coming storm clouds and the wind and the rain, my foundations are deep. I've hid his word in my heart. His righteousness will prevail. And the other scripture that came to me, actually, this is part of what was spoken during this event that took place this evening. Shout it aloud. Do not hold it back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of his God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit poor workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is it not this kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. And what occurred to me is, how can this great revival take place if the body of Christ is obsessed with destroying itself? It just can't. I mean, we've got to clean up our act before the Lord can do anything. How is he going to answer our prayers if we aren't walking in righteousness and obeying him? How can he? Jesus continued, "My brides, if you were spreading negativity and judging my servants, in fact, if you were judging anyone, you are in sin. Your hands are stained with blood. Your wedding gown is also smeared with blood. You will not be taken in the rapture if you do not reform your ways. Stop gossiping, stop judging, hurting, destroying ministries you don't understand that are bearing the copious fruit of salvation and sanctification. You are treacherous, my bride, and I will not have you in heaven with me until you clean up your life. I cannot. Heaven is a place of love. You would be repelled immediately if you tried to enter heaven this way. But enough. It is time for you to change." Then I addressed the Lord on some things that are bothering me. I said, "Lord, I'm confused. You have shown me that you don't want me talking about the sins of the deep state. If there has to be reform, you've asked us to pray and you've revealed their sins in an earlier message, but you don't want me looking at the media and following the progress of this monster coming down. Really, I am perplexed by this." Jesus answered, "Fresh water is not bitter nor salty. This is the offscouring of the world, and when you dwell on such things, you become contaminated by attitudes and opinions. When you criticize, find fault and guilt, hanging it out for the public to examine, you're promoting judgment and negativity. That is not to say that some people are called to do this job, like judges and law enforcement and those who determine such things. And it is a regrettable thing that it must be done. The cancers of society must be removed. When I return, you will still be dealing with those who prefer sin to righteousness and honesty. Therefore, many of you will be judges and called to make determinations against the guilty. But I do not want this spread in my body. It is rotten, decaying flesh, and as such, must be isolated to be dealt with. I want my bride to pray for these people who were once innocent babes and have been bent into corruption from childhood. I want them healed, repented, and in heaven with me. This will not happen if everyone is listening to the wrongs they did. You will become what you meditate and feed on. I don't want you feeding on that or spreading it. I need a spotless bride, one whose heart is struck to the core with sorrow for these people, one who knows the grievous sins they have been guilty of in their own lives and refuses to judge others for their sins. You can judge the sin, but only I know the motives involved. Claire, I want your hearts to be pure and gentle, meek and loving, always praying for the best in even the most hopeless-looking cases. Satan runs the media, and his entire agenda, with rare exception, is to promote gossip, true or false. Of course, the more lies, the better, because the people feed on the lies, open doors to be sifted, and let him right in. Gossip is one of his most successful tools, the master key to unlock all doors of the soul. The master key, it opens even the most vigilant of hearts up for his demons to enter. Every time you draw attention to the faults of others, I must draw attention to yours. You are called to cover the faults of others. Yes, there are times to talk about what goes on in your life and how you handle it, but it is a slippery slope that deteriorates quickly into bitterness. Just continue to pray for and bless those who injure you. That is the safest posture. My people, I do not want you feeding from the offscouring of the world, except in the case of necessity where you are involved in lawful action or are forced to confront a situation that is unjust. Get the information out on the table, then get to work on it. Don't itemize the list of their sins and pass along judgment and condemnation through one email after another. It would shock you to know that many involved in the deep state really believe that what they're doing is a duty they owe to mankind to improve the earth. They think the ends justify the means, and they are part of the super race that is going to make the world a better place for us to live. They are blind and do not see they're working for Satan to destroy the innocent, and their ends do not justify their means. Lord, I'm still wrestling with this in my heart, wrestling with how will we know what to pray for. Most people don't hear you so clearly. Their only information is from other sources, contaminated sources. Your question is legitimate. There is a time to recognize corruption and make up your mind to do something about it. For most, the action is prayer and supporting those who have to handle this highly contaminated matter. I bring it to you for prayer. Others may pick up on it from other sources and then go into prayer. The problem comes when you become addicted, like watching soap operas. They're highly addictive, and so is the news. Knowing is never satisfied with information. Knowing can be an endless black pit in your life, where every day you just have to find out the latest discoveries, arrest, prosecution, more and more and more. A major part of your life becomes riveted on the evil, and it has its effect. You are no longer the pure and lovely bride of Christ. You are now filthy from sifting through the dumpster. Your dress smells and looks disgusting. Your head is full of disgusting facts. I would rather you knew nothing about this than to see you addicted to rotten trash. I know this is difficult for you to comprehend, Claire, and I truly sympathize with you, wanting to know the progress. But I'm asking you to trust me, knowing these things may satisfy your curiosity for a short time, but they will breed judgment, indignation, self-righteousness, and pride. It is much better for you to go sifting through your own conscience every day with a repentant heart. This will bring forth good fruit. I do understand, Lord. I can see that you have a balance. That's right, and the balance can be summed up. Touch it lightly and move on. Take it to prayer. Plead with me for their salvation. Pray for the victims. support those who live by moral commitments and take them seriously and want to serve in the public sector, support those who work in the field to heal victims, pray for the victims. These are all salutary things. I will bring little bits of information throughout your week that give you a taste of where things are at. This way you will not be seeking them and become captivated by the way things are unfolding. You are all called to be saints. That means you do not think as men on earth. You think with a heavenly mind. You love unconditionally. You pray for those who hurt you. Remember, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. You are the ones who demonstrate the thoughts and ways of acting in heaven, because it is your homeland, and I live inside of you. That is my personal heaven, in the hearts of believers. And that was the end of his message. In addition to this, Ezekiel said, a voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And that was the slaughter of the innocents that came from Jeremiah 31. And the Lord was grieving over the sex trade and trafficking and grieving for those who were dead. He was also grieved for those of us that have spread emails about the deep state and spent our time passing them from person to person. Ezekiel said that he does not want us feeding on the latest discoveries, and he is deeply grieved by our disobedience in doing so. I confess I've been the worst offender in this area, really lusting after information and how our prayers are affecting things. At least that's the pretext I have used. But let's face it, that makes sifting through the dumpster full of corpses sound virtuous, but it does nothing to change the odor of rotting flesh. I'm still learning, heart dwellers. Please forgive me for leading you astray. And please, let's be very careful what we give our eyes and ears to, as well as what we spread with our mouths. We must have perfect hearts, praying that these will repent and be saved.